Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Hello and welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Thanks for tuning into the show. Okay, here's a question to think about. When was the last time that you took a really long walk to clear your mind? I find that walking is just a great way to get my body moving, to lessen stress, and it also has a calming effect as well. And this is actually the perfect segue to my special guest, who is a big proponent of getting up off the couch and walking. Her work focuses on engaging the mind with walkcasts, audiobooks, and live guest speakers, which you listen to while you're up and moving. I'm joined by Diana Liberto, who is the founder and CEO of Walk My Mind, a platform that provides walking, learning, listening, and community, all in an effort to promote a healthy lifestyle. Prior to launching her platform, Diana was an in-house counsel at a Fortune 100 company. Her legal career has taken her from her rural beginnings near the Jersey Shore to working with great legal minds in skyscrapers from New York to LA and even overseas. Diana's here to share her career journey and advice with you. It's great to have you on the show, Diana. Welcome.
Hi, how are you? Thank you.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. Thanks.
All right. Well, you have a very interesting background and journey. You grew up on a farm, right? And then you made yourself into in-house counsel at a Fortune 100 company, as I mentioned. And now you're the founder and CEO of Walk My Mind, a platform that really fosters this whole notion of walking and learning and listening. What made you take the leap from corporate America to entrepreneur?
It was an idea, and it was an idea that pushed me off the building. I didn't decide to do it. The idea decided for me. I really wasn't thinking about leaving my job or my career, except that I had some very unfortunate tragedies happen in my family in quick succession. And it was so devastating that I became very sidelined. I would use that word. I was able to go to work, but when I got home, I just sat on the couch. I really was traumatized. And I was a very active person. And so I went from being a very active person to, you know, just sitting there and kind of going, duh. it was really terrible. It was really, really horrible. And I did that for about a year. During that time, my mom was very, very sick and was in and out of the hospital. And I had, you know, lost my dad. It was just terrible.
No, it's horrible. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So about a year into that, I realized that that's no way to live, right? I needed to do something. And I thought, well, I'm just going to call this personal trainer that I had known and worked out with in the past and pay her to take me for a walk. Because I thought, well, if I could just get outside and take a walk, you know, breathe the air, get outside, take a walk on the beach, it would help me. And we did it. We did the first day. I paid her like $75 for 1 hour walk. More expensive than a dog walker.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Oh my goodness.
Right? But then I asked her to come back the next day. And it was the next morning when we were walking that I started to talk to her about, you know, I'm fortunate because here I am an attorney. I was able to afford that. But, you know, a lot of people can't, right? And a lot of people are in the same boat. They were sitting on the couch for whatever reason. Either they had, you know, post-traumatic stress, or they depressed, or they don't like gyms, or, you know, you could come up with a million reasons why somebody may not be just doing something as simple as taking a walk. And so I said, I wonder, you know, how we can help these people. I wonder how I can get the message out that even that very first walk did so much for me. And that idea just popped in my head, you know, the idea of if you do something that interests people, they'll maybe take the walk, they'll maybe take that first step. And once that hit me, I couldn't let it go. I could not. It kept me up at night. I was constantly taking notes. And I just said, wow, you know, I think I have to do this. So that's how it happened.
That's an amazing story. And, you know, to go through that and to recognize that you need to do something, but then to want to help so many people who may not be in a position, as you said, I'm always fascinated by sometimes it's one choice that we make that is so compounded and can steer the, you know, the rest of your life. So the choice to get up off the couch, truly life-changing. How does Walk My Mind, do you feel, connect the physical, the mental, and emotional health? Are there studies that kind of draw this out, or is it success stories?
Well, actually, there are studies. There are studies that just this past week, I think was either the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal had some article on movement and learning. And there is a correlation between moving and your ability to learn. So it definitely is out there. I just talked to a woman yesterday who was one of our contributors. And she called me and she said, you know, I just want to tell you that I had never done this. I had never listened to any kind of content or anything and tried to take a walk. And she said, I'm amazed at how much longer I can walk. I said, that's the point. Ta-da! You got it. You know, that's exactly right. So, I mean, I get that all the time that, you know, the people have never thought to do it, but it really does keep you going.
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, so here we are listening to audiobooks in the car, but ultimately we don't want to necessarily stay in the car, right? And we're not moving. The car is moving. So the ability to have a walk cast or take your audiobook with you as you're moving, I mean, that's just helping you so much. Are you seeing a lot of results from or hearing results from people who are using Walk My Mind and who are a part of your platform?
Well, I am. Actually, people on my own team, I have a fellow. Well, he's lost 40 pounds already just by walking, listening to the podcast, but he's really put his effort into doing it. He's lost 40 pounds. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, that is amazing.
And when we first rolled it out as an alpha test, you know, we rolled it to a very small company. Maybe there were 40 or 50 people there. And I got an email from the receptionist. And she said, you know, she can't believe how it's changed her life. And now she's walking and she's, and I actually start crying. I was like, wow, it really is working. You know, changing people's lives.
Right. I mean, it's sometimes you go out on a limb with your dream, right? You said you got this idea, you couldn't sleep, you had to see it through to fruition. And some people roll out and don't even know the effects. You're getting immediate results. That's got to be so gratifying.
It is. It really is. I mean, I certainly want to reach more people. And, you know, standing up a company is, you know, it's its own challenge. So I want to reach lots and lots and lots of people. I would love to hear zillions of people say, wow, you know, this really, really helped me.
Absolutely. So I'm thinking, because, you know, I wanted to ask you the question about, is this just for busy executive types? You came out of a Fortune 100 company, but what I'm hearing is that there's a much broader audience.
Yes. I mean, we started just from a business decision to go into corporations. There are people in corporations, obviously, that are sitting all day and yes. They really, really do need to get up and take a walk. And in the corporate setting, we are enabling the corporations themselves and the employees to do their own walk casts and put them in their own, what we call the brand box. So they can actually be walking and listening to work related content if they desire. So that's a little twist for the companies. Oh. But I do want to also be available for consumers, and I would love to be available for sort of in the medical space. You know, so many people are prescribed walking. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to walk. And I would love to be part of, you know, rehab for people and people who have like post-traumatic stress or depression. It would help them too. Like I just really...
The military.
And the military. Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many different professionals and people who would benefit from this. How are you? So I think you mentioned a brand box, which sounds like it's related to the company and a wellness program. How are you vetting content? Like, how are you putting content into that box or even content on your platform?
So the brand box content is something that we discuss with the company. You know, what would you like to see? What are your pain points right now? What type of subjects would you like? You know, some might say they want talks on leadership. They would like talks on managing diabetes. They might, you know, so they know where their pain points are or also where their interests lie. And then we either curate or produce original content for them. They also can do their own. So for instance, if the CEO does a, you know, a monthly email that's 2 pages long and you sit and you read that at your computer, he can do it as an audio. It's very simple. Right. Yes. And then they can walk to it. I would like to see compliance modules put on it so that people can walk their compliance or walk their, you know, I'm an attorney, right? Wouldn't it be great to walk my continuing legal education credits?
Oh, yes.
Right? Instead of sitting at my desk for 12 hours or sitting in a conference room.
Okay, that's brilliant.
I think so. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Diana, that is just so brilliant because when we think about our continuing education, the first picture in your mind is maybe a bunch of books, or the next picture is slaving over your computer screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can sort of make it interesting with video and whatnot and answer questions, but if tying this ability to walk and learn and then be more compliant, wow, what organization wouldn't want that?
Right. Yes, exactly. Me personally, right now, I'm taking Italian and I have a tutor, but you know, that doesn't 1 hour a week, you're not going to learn Italian. So I actually walk my Italian lessons, you know?
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. What made you, is Italian because that is your part of your heritage or just attracted to a beautiful language?
It is my heritage, but I'm also attracted to it. And I, you know, I have many dreams. my dream doesn't stop at the end of walk, my mind. So
no, I had a feeling. I had a feeling about this.
Yes, so margin. There's more to come.
Wow, that's awesome. Have you been to Italy?
Yes. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Eat, pray, love.
That's exactly right.
Okay. So let's kind of, I want to take advantage of the fact that you were in corporate America, you know, leadership, a woman in leadership. So a good chunk of your career was there. And I noticed as I was doing my due diligence that you're still on boards today. There's all the discussion about not enough women on boards, of course, not enough women on the C-level. So what do you think it takes to actually get to the board level?
When I was still in-house, there was a wonderful woman who lived in the community. She was an executive, but not at the company where we worked. Her husband was an executive at the company. And she made it a point to reach out to women and get them on nonprofit boards, women that she thought should start, you know, down that road, right? And that's a great way to start, is to get on a nonprofit board. You know, I enjoyed the experience. I did eventually, you know, leave. And then I was on an airplane actually carrying a bag that I had bought in Italy. And it was a really nice bag. And the gentleman next to me said, "Wow, I love that. You know, where'd you get that?" And we started talking. Oh, my wife would love that. And, you know, one thing led to another. And by the end of the trip, he told me he was an entrepreneur who had a startup, and he had a really robust, he has a really robust board, and would I like to be a board member? Could he call me to discuss that with me? And it's an advisory board at this point because it's still a startup, but I was like, wow, sure. And, you know, we had conversations, and I met with some other people on the board, and I've been on that advisory board for, I don't know, a couple of years now. So that was just a conversation. I mean, you really don't know who you're talking to.
Right.
You know, and he has a lot of medical professionals on his board, but he didn't have any legal professionals. And so I kind of fit right into what he was looking for. It was serendipity. And then the other board that I'm on is, you know, again, through knowing people and the fact that I now have board experience, I have corporate experience, and now I've started my own company. You know, you have a lot of the pieces that boards are looking for. So I think, you know, for women to start on even a nonprofit, which really they need help, they need your expertise, and go from there.
No, that's great advice. It sounds like what I'm hearing, it's your network, clearly, and you're also your ability to be a power networker. So you can be anywhere, and when you strike up that conversation, like you said, you just don't know who you're speaking with. When it comes to, you know, if you can start on the nonprofit side, like you mentioned, and then work your way over into other things, what are some of the responsibilities? So, you know, did you know what you were getting into fully? I'm sure it takes time. And, you know, also some boards want you to open up your ability to fundraise for them, or to, you know, do the ask for money. Is that also a part of it?
I haven't had that experience. I would say maybe on the nonprofit, that would have been part of it, you know, helping out with that. On the advisory board, I have had the opportunity, let's put it that way, to, you know, use my legal acumen. It's really been valuable for that company. So, sure. I mean, you are bringing something, and you're asked to use it.
Right. No, so, absolutely.
Right.
And I'm sure they've tapped into your legal expertise. Also want to ask, you know, as a businesswoman, if you were to make the comparison between being a woman in corporate America and now a woman who is a tech entrepreneur, what's harder, what's easier, or about the same?
It's all hard. I hate to say
that. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, it's really all hard. If it were easy, you know, I don't think they would pay what they pay. If starting a company was easy, everybody would be doing it. It's
right.
It's really challenging on every level, every which way you turn. Being an attorney in private practice is challenging. I mean, I think getting through law school was challenging. If it's not challenging, it's probably boring, and you wouldn't want to do it anyway.
Yeah, we live for the challenge.
Right. Well, it keeps you going.
It definitely does.
It's also very, you know, keeps you up at night and maybe shortens your life too. I don't know. But if you start walking, it may help.
I was going to say, not if you walk my mind. Keep that in mind. I appreciate your honesty. I think it is challenging, but you have to be up for the challenge. And boy, if you can balance that out with walking and listening and learning, then you're in a very good place. Diana, I'm just going to ask you to hold all of your thoughts for now. We're going to take a super quick break to give some love to our sponsor. I also want to mention that Women Worldwide is now on C-Suite Radio, right? So we've joined the C-Suite Radio Network. You can find all of our episodes on c-suiteradio.com. And when you're there, you might want to check out all the other great business podcasts too.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communication and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from awareness to action and impact by offering a digital marketing roadmap. Let us help you foster deeper engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. Diana Liberto and I were just chatting about her platform, Walk My Mind, and taking a leap from corporate America to launch her own business. Diana, all right, so we left off with being a woman in corporate America or being a woman in the tech industry, both challenging. So I think I want to sort of pivot to some personal moments that were really meaningful. Now, you mentioned that you went through a lot of trauma and things with your family, and you had an aha moment almost getting up off the couch, right, and walking. Were there any other aha moments that maybe led you to other things that you were doing or that stand out in your mind?
Other aha moments. Well, maybe when I was in elementary school arguing with my fifth grade teacher and he said, oh, you should be a lawyer. I probably had a little bit of an aha moment.
That's really interesting, isn't it? It's kind of strange how sometimes when you think back on your past, people say things and you're like, really? No. And then you think, wow, could I? That could have been the start of something right there.
Maybe. I mean, maybe it went somewhere deep inside because it wasn't my, I didn't really say all my life I want to be a lawyer, but there it was. Yeah. It's not funny.
That is really funny. That's one of those moments. I remember when I was interning and I was on a media tour with an author, and we were sitting having coffee, waiting for an interview at the Algonquin Hotel in New York. And that's like that hotel that famous authors stop by. And he looked at me and he said, do you want to be a writer? And I said, I'd love to write. And he's like, oh, you're going to be an author someday.
Wow.
And I was only like 19 or 20. And I'm like, yeah, oh, that would be great. Yeah, okay.
Oh, that's really awesome. Yes.
And, who knew? So I guess those aha moments happen, even if you don't recognize it then and there. Interesting. Okay, so who influenced you the most on your career journey?
So I was thinking about that. I think that my mother and father's work ethic is probably been the biggest overarching theme in my entire career, just to really work hard. There's no other way to go, right? If you go any other way other than working hard, then you're lazy. And so that's always stuck with me.
And what did they do? Were they similar to you? Were they more corporate? Were they more entrepreneurial?
No. My father was a farmer. His parents, I would say, were entrepreneurial because they came from Italy and they, had to start a business, and they started a farm, which is amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, at the time that they did that, you know, they had to actually clear the land with horses and, you know, the whole story, right? And my mother's father similarly came from Italy. He had been a tailor, but when he got to this country, he started a big manufacturing business where he manufactured men's slacks. So also, you know, not knowing the language or anything. So my mom and my dad, you know, continued working on the farm that my father's parents had established. So they were both children of entrepreneurs, or but no one called them that, right?
Yeah. And this was the farm that you grew up on.
Yes.
Did you help out on this farm?
Gosh, yes.
So
yes.
You were milking cows at, you know, 5 a.m.
No, we didn't have cows. I mean, we were mainly a truck farm, you know, with all our vegetables and fruits.
Oh, nice.
For ourselves, of course, we had chickens and things like that. But it was mainly vegetables and fruit. But yes, I was up every morning. Television didn't go round the clock. You know, it started, sure. I guess, about 4:30, 5 o'clock with the Farmer's Almanac. And I would be sitting there with my dad with the Farmer's Almanac, you know.
That's so cool. That's where your work ethic starts.
Just yesterday, I was walking with my daughter. She wanted to visit a college. And it came out and I looked up. I said, oh, no, it's going to rain. We need to go inside there, the student center, and get an umbrella. She goes, Mom, please put your Farmer's Almanac away.
You know what? The Farmer's Almanac, they predict everything, right? They predict if it's going to be a cold winter and the snow.
Exactly.
Do you know what the Farmer's Almanac says about the winter this year?
Actually, I don't. I'm ashamed to say it.
That's okay. We'll Google that one.
My son sent me the funniest little, you know, photo this morning that he texted me. It's a scarecrow standing out in a field, and he said, it says, this job isn't for everyone, but hey, H-A-Y, it's in my genes. J-E-A-N-S.
That's great. Oh my goodness. So when you think about, I mean, certainly your parents and challenges and your own challenges, what's motivated you the most? Where do you think you draw your motivation, inspiration, and just to keep going? And as you said before, I'm not done yet. I've got these ideas.
I know.
What is it that's driving you?
I know now what's driving me is to try to help other people. I do really want to do that. I want to do it on many levels and in many different ways. And so my mind really runs with that, not only helping people by walking, but what other things can I do to help people? And that's actually trickled down to my sons are both volunteering to do different things, help, you know, non-English speakers speak English.
That's awesome.
Walk for the homeless. You know, it's just become sort of a family feeling. But I wasn't always that way, because for a very long time, I just had to get myself on my feet and get my children on their feet. I went to law school as a single mom. You know, I had two sons at the time, and they were really little, you know, you really aren't thinking, what can I do for somebody else? You're thinking, oh my God, how am I going to pay off these student loans? How am I going to study? What am I going to do? How am I going to get these kids? You know, so for a long time, it was just my own drive to succeed and get my children in a good place.
Yeah. And you certainly did. And it shows by the way that they're helping. And of course you're helping too. That's really interesting. Is there anything else? So you mentioned that you didn't know it then that you know now. Is there anything else that you sort of see in yourself back then, or even advice that you want to, if you could give yourself advice 20 years ago, you know, what would you say to that younger self?
I would say that, you know, you I was so focused on trying to succeed and on trying to do well for myself and for my kids. But I maybe didn't know that 20 years down the road, I might look back and say, wow, there were different ways to do that. You know, what is success? Is success, you know, just pushing yourself and grinding yourself and climbing and trying and, you know, punishing yourself if you don't make this or you don't make that? Or, you know, could success have been, I was a painter and I was enjoying it and I was home and I'm still a painter, you know? I mean, I think you don't quite know what success really is going to be for you.
That's a really good point. And I wrote about this in my book, that success changes as you change. And it has to do a lot with what's going on in your life at the time. And I remember when I was a solo mom with this little girl, my success then was more around making sure that I could pay the bills and that I could make sure that I was taking care of her the right way. And it just changes over the years. So that's a really interesting point. And there were things maybe back then that you said you were doing, your painting and things that I was enjoying, but we just didn't look at it as success. So maybe that just means right now, whatever we're doing and whatever we find successful, just to be more aware of some of the other things that are going on, self-awareness.
Yeah, because you get to this point and you can look back and you can say, you know I didn't spend as much time with my children as I would have liked to because to work the kinds of jobs, you know, it takes a ton of your time. You know, so it's a real balancing act too. And when you get to this point and you look back, I think one of the really important things is don't beat yourself up because you did what you thought you needed to do when you did it.
Yes. No, that's a great point. And you wouldn't be where you are today if you didn't make certain choices that are always compounded to get you to where you are. What do you, you know, I'm just going to throw this out because I was thinking about a forum that I recently attended. So my husband and I, it was so nice for one of the first times in a long time. We attended a conference where I wasn't podcasting, I wasn't speaking or working for a client, right? So we went to the Synergy Global Forum and they had some great speakers. And Malcolm Gladwell was one of the speakers. And he was talking a lot about weak link and strong link thinking. And it was sort of this notion that weak link thinking means you're working on weaknesses or the weaknesses around you to make things better. And then strong link thinking focuses on strengths or the strengths around you to make things better. So I'm going to throw this question out to you. In your present role today, do you have weak link thinking or strong link thinking?
Wow. I would say both. I'd say both. I think I look at what around me could use my help. So I guess that's looking at the weak links around me. And then what can I bring to it? How can I use, for instance, my legal skills to help people? Because I really want to do that. Obviously help people with the walking and help them to maybe follow in my journey, how much it helped me. But I also then focus on the strengths. I read a lot about other people and how they've accomplished what they've accomplished. And I find that to be incredibly useful, especially like today. I was just reading, I belong to this website called delanceyplace.com. where they take excerpts from books and just, you know, so like you could read it in a few minutes. Maybe you wouldn't have had a chance to read the whole book. And this one was about Thomas Edison. The book is called InSoul, The Rise and Fall of a Billionaire Utility Tycoon. But what was so interesting is that he had, you know, all kinds of difficulty. I mean, he had all this brilliance coming up with the ideas of electricity and light bulbs, but then his investors, what they wanted to do was completely opposite of what he wanted to do.
Interesting.
And I'll just read this to you. This is a quote. The success of this activity forced a showdown over control of Edison's various enterprises, right? He said in a fit of despair, "I do not know just how we are going to live. I think I could go back and earn my living as a telegraph operator." And reading that, a man as brilliant as he is, who came up with something that was world-changing, also had these moments when he said, uh-oh, you know, what am I going to do? I feel that. Like, I feel that a lot. Like, oh, my gosh, how about if this doesn't work? What am I going to do? You know, I can always go back to being a waitress. You know, like,
you can always go back to corporate America and be a lawyer.
I always have all these thoughts, but it helps to look at the strong people around you, these people who have accomplished amazing things, and then look that they also have some weak link thinking too, right? So we all probably are a strong link and weak link in ourselves and in what we see around us.
No, that was a great example. And I appreciate the balance and the way that you laid that out. So when it comes to technology, I mean, after all, we were just talking about, you know, great accomplishments and electricity. So with technology, was this something for you back in the day that you were attracted to? Or is it kind of like just along the way you realize no matter what we do, we're going to have some technological aspect to it?
That's funny you're asking me that, because yesterday when I took my daughter, she wanted to go to see Temple University. And my first semester of college, I went to Temple University, and I was doing computer programming, and it was on these ginormous mainframes, and you use punch cards, right? And you learn these languages, and I was doing this and feeding these cards and this thing, and I thought, I don't know if this is for me. And just yesterday, I said to her, wow, I sure wish I had followed that through instead of deciding it wasn't for me.
Wow, can you imagine?
Right.
Well, technology was so different back then.
It really was. It really, really was. But I mean, I had an Apple computer when they first came out. Like, I got the Apple IIc.
Oh, cool.
I enjoyed using that. But I'm not a tech. I don't consider myself a tech person. I don't. We built an app. My company's built an app, and we're still refining it and working on it. And I do enjoy working with the app developers. I do love that. And I wake up in the middle of the night with ideas. But I don't know if I would be the one who could actually do the programming.
That's where other people can step in and you can delegate.
Right.
What are some of the challenges for you with, you know, your app or Walk My Mind in general? Has it just been all smooth sailing?
Oh, no. If it was, I wouldn't be like thinking maybe I'm going to have to be a waitress again. No, it's really hard. It's incredible. I mean, it's a challenge to try to raise money. It's a challenge to have a team work for, you know, practically or actually nothing.
Right.
To make people love what you're doing enough to stick with you and push with you, to go before people and tell them what you're doing and have them look at you with this blank, like, nah. I mean, and you feel like somebody's stabbing you, not knowing whether it's going to really take off or not in the way that you want it to. It's a real, it's very exciting.
Yes.
You have to like excitement.
Right. Exactly. I hear the passion when you share. There's no doubt. And Diana, you will never be bored, because as we said, challenges are never boring. What advice would you give to professionals about making big transitions and bold steps in their career like you've done?
I think they have to really be prepared to know that you may get to that point where you have to do something else, you know, so because it's hard to succeed, right? So you have to know when you're jumping off the building that it may not work and you're ready for that. You're prepared for that. You have to also love what you're going to do and be really, really passionate about it. Turning your back on a great career for something you're only half interested in would not make any sense at all, right?
No.
You have to have something that's really, really driving you.
Well, that is great advice. And we can definitely tell what drives you and your passion and your love for what you're doing. So last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and Walk My Mind?
Well, we have a website, walkmymind.com. We're on Facebook. I think we were on Instagram, and people can go in and check it out. On the website, a lot of the speakers, you can access their walkcasts and listen to some of the great content that we have. We're so blessed that people are just giving us great, great, great talks. So many people believe in what we're doing, and that's really cool, I have to tell you. You know, we talked about the people who are actually using the app and how they feel, but the contributors, that they are doing this because they believe in it, and they are just giving us such amazing talks. I mean, I could probably walk from here to California and, you know, just listen to all the great talks that we have. So we're really blessed.
That's awesome. Well, it just sounds like you're taking off, and there's a lot of passionate people behind you. And I certainly believe in what you're doing. So I hope everybody checks out you and Walk My Mind. Diana, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Your
amazing career journey. You're just an inspiration to so many, and we appreciate all of your advice and insight. So thank you.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.